The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
All right. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from the old and from everlasting." You know, again, God's plan from creation, because he knows the end from the beginning, right? Was relationship, redemption, making a way where there didn't seem to be a way. And of course, the Christmas season, we celebrate that, and we should. We should celebrate it every day. When you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you know, the ABCs of salvation, admitting and acknowledging you needed a Savior, B, believing that Jesus is that Savior, and then C, confessing that with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart, he rose from the dead, it says you will be saved. There's the ABCs. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit seals you into the day of redemption. And you have the ability then to be kind. You have the ability to be patient. You have the ability to walk in love and have joy, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You get to... the fruit of that spirit inside of you could just come out. And people see it. See? They notice it. They notice something different about you. We've been talking about being in the established position. I think, you know, when Jim was reading Proverbs 4, boy, that was excellent. Just so good. It fit right in. And how Satan fools you into stepping out of that position. And we talked about the three things, you know, selfishness, fear, and pride. And they're all tied together. You know, I'm separating them. But let's just face it. It's all the ickiness that ties together. And then we step out of position. And when you're out of position, that's when Satan really starts having fun with you, right? And again, it's almost like this season, a lot of people are really down in this season. They really are. I mean, you know, that spirit of depression tries to come on people. Heaviness, all those things come on this season. Well, duh. We have an enemy out there who doesn't want to celebrate Jesus, wants people to look inward, right, instead of looking up. Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, we know this verse says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." So yeah, don't worry about the government. "And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Man. "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You know, we were singing, you know, he could have come with legions of angels. He could have come and told the Caesar what was happening, what was really happening. And in fact, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jews of that day, that's what they were looking for. A king coming with power. And he did. But not in the way they thought. Their life was self-absorbed. They were looking at their circumstances. They weren't looking at even the scriptures. It's interesting. You know, when it says that the wise men came, you know, they followed the star, they came. Took them about 3 years to get there too, by the way, for the birth of Christ. Or, you know, for that time, that season. And why did they came? Why did they come? Why did they even know? Well, because Daniel was in Persia telling them hundreds, you know, centuries before. And they even believed. They knew when they saw that star, they said, something's about to change. And it did, right? It did. Let me read one more scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's Isaiah 7:14. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come and celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, Father, the selfless gift of redemption that you gave us. We celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate what you've done for us and what you're continuing to do. Your story is not over. We look forward to the day. We look forward to the day of you calling us up to be with you, of you coming with 10,000s upon 10,000s. You say that day will come. We will be there with you on that day. We look forward to that, Father. But in the meantime, we advance your kingdom here on earth, where people would come to know you as Savior and as Lord. Help us this day as we're led by your wisdom, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to apply your word into our life, that we'd be established in the position you've put us in, and that we would stay there. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. I mean, again, you know, I've been preaching on that aspect of selfishness. And again, I didn't plan it this way. I think maybe God might have. You know, the most selfless act was him taking on humanity. I mean, it scrambles my brain even to think about how he did it, the fact he did it, and the way he did it. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world. That's always been his motivation, people. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, thank God for all you whosoevers, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, that is so good. And that's what he did. And as we read in the Gospels about the life of Jesus, you know, starting with Mary, starting in a manger, but as he lived his life and as he stepped into his position, we can learn a lot. In Luke 22, I'm going to read verses 42 through 44. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. See, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was taking on the sins of the world. You know, if I get in the flesh and I start thinking about my sins of this young, short life I'm living right now, I can overwhelm myself with my mistakes, just mine. He took on every sin from Adam and Eve to the end of the millennium. He took them all on. He understood the gravity of this. And he asked the Father, if it is your will. He was looking up. You think he already knew God's will? Yes. He was showing us that, listen, you're going to face things that are real. They're serious. And you've got to look up. And you can pray and you can ask the Father. You can come to him and say, listen, this is what I'm seeing. And I'm gonna pray to you and I'm gonna ask. But at the end of the day, what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. Not my will but yours. And then guess what happened? Verse 43, an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. He's given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We read that. You know why we read that? To remind us, to remind me. And verse 44, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I thought about that. That word hit me. You know, Jesus was in agony. Anguish, struggle. But in the Greek, the first definition, it says a struggle for victory. When I think about agony, I'll be honest, I'm not thinking about struggling to victory. I'm kind of, right? He was struggling through to victory. It says a gymnastic exercise, a wrestling. You know how it says we battle not with flesh and blood, but principalities, the powers, rulers, darkness, this world? You're battling the enemy trying to put you in a position where you look at yourself. You look at your situation. You look at your circumstance. And I don't know how many times you've heard me preach. Listen, I'm not denying the facts of a situation. Listen, when the facts are stage 4 pancreatic cancer in the liver, I don't like those facts. I can dwell on those facts. I can look at reports. I can look at all the enzymes and all the different things on the blood work. And it doesn't look good, does it? No. Or I can look at the Father. And I can start speaking the truth over the situation. Again, I'm not denying the facts, but I'm going to speak the truth over the facts. The truth is God, you have a good plan for me. You give me hope. I have great expectations in you. And your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And I'm going to walk out every day that you have for me because I'm looking at you. You know, I think about that. It's in 1 Timothy. I think it's in 4. But, you know, God is faithful to keep those things that you have committed to him. I commit every single one of you to him. I commit every person that sets foot in this lighthouse to my God. Why? Because he's faithful to keep you. He's faithful to keep you. He is. He will keep you through whatever fact comes your way. He's faithful. Everybody listening on the radio, I commit your ears and your entire body to my God because I know my God and he is faithful. I'm going back to Hebrews 12. I said it last week. I'll read 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Again, put away the stuff that you know is leading you to the bad place, the fleshy stuff. And it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, he has that race that is set before you. But here's the crux of it. This is how you can do this. It says, looking unto Jesus. You're never going to get where you're going in that race unless you look unto Jesus. Because you're not strong enough. We already established you ain't smart enough. Because I use the word ain't. Shows you I ain't smart enough. And he told me, you're not, and you don't need to be. Keep looking unto Jesus. The author. That means he already wrote it out. Your name is written in the book of life. When you're in Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not only did he write it out, it says the author and the finisher of our faith. And then it kind of explains what we read in Luke, what we read in Micah and Isaiah, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I always remind people, you know, at Christmas time, you know, we have the nativity scene, is that they call it? Nativity scene, right? You got the manger, you got little baby Jesus. You got the animals and the manger and stuff, right? And that's cool, don't get me wrong, we sing about it, that's cool. But Jesus is not in a manger. You know, of course, we think about him enduring the cross. You think about his nail-pierced hands. He's got a pierced side, too, by the way. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They had beat him to a pulp. It's important that we know that that's what he did. They put him in a tomb. He didn't stay. First, he went and set all the captives free, all those that had gone on before. He went down where God had kept those people, and he preached himself. Then he set them free. Then he rose, and then he actually remained on the earth. And he kept teaching. And you know, there's so many history books that it writes about him. Now, I'm not talking the Bible. I mean, come on, that's something to write about. They killed this guy. They put him in a tomb. And all of a sudden, he's out teaching again with nail-pierced hands. Yeah. Yeah, you won't hear CNN writing an expose on that. But that's what he did. And then he said, listen, I'm going to have to leave you because I'm sending you my spirit. See, because he had come in the flesh, right? The selfless God to sacrifice for us, right? But he sent his spirit to live inside of you, to give you the ability to be kind, to give the ability to love, to be patient, to have self-control, which means being selfless. And being selfless isn't doing all the things you think are selfless. Being selfless is doing what he tells you to do. Amen? Because that's what pleases the Father. Your will be done. Right? And we know in these last times, men will be lovers of themselves. 2 Timothy 3, first part of 2. So we know as we enter into these last days where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, that men will be lovers of themselves. There'll be trials and tribulations on this world. That James 4, it says, verse 1, I'm reading in the Passion, it says, what does cause conflicts and quarrels with each other? If you have conflicts and quarrels with people, you need to read this. It says, doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to and have your own way and fulfill your own desires? You know, I'm going to pick on my wife because it's fun. It didn't take us long in our marriage for her to realize that it was hard to argue with me. Because I didn't argue. Now, I'll be honest, I thought I was already right. I learned. But I really didn't. There's not a lot of reason to argue. Say what you think, we'll say what I think. And I think that was actually the Lord helping me, training me. Now, I had to learn the other side of that, which means you're not very smart, Monty. I gave you a helper. You better get some help. And he did, and I do. But guys, when you have these quarrels between people, conflicts, you don't have to get all fleshy about it. Just look up and do what he tells you to do. Now, someone might say to you, as you're doing what God says, well, that's not very nice. You just tell them, God didn't tell me to be nice. Pastor Monty says don't be nice. Remember I preaching about that? Remember what nice, the definition of nice? And it's a definition. It says agreeable. I'm not agreeable with everything. I'm not. No, we don't need to be, huh? I agree with my father. I'm going to do what he says. Am I going to be kind? Absolutely. Am I going to speak the truth in love? Absolutely. I'm going to consider others in front of myself. Man. But I'm not going to let my compassion get in the way of my obedience. Because he does know the end from the beginning. And we're going to walk out what he's called us to do. That's being selfless. Does that make sense? And folks, I'm telling you, that's what the world needs right now. They need spirit-led Christians advancing his kingdom. Now, am I spirit-led 100% of the time? Don't answer. No. But let me tell you something. When I'm not, I can promise you the Holy Spirit says, Monty. Ah, you're right, Lord. I don't want conflicts and quarrels, what bitter jealousies. I mean, all these scriptures that we talk about. I want to trust him. Let me read. I'm almost there. Let me read Proverbs 3 again. I'm reading out of the Passion. I'm starting in 5. It says, trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you. And he will lead you in every decision you will make. I have a close friend who called me a couple of days ago. I said, how you doing? He's been going through some physical trials and things. So he says, pretty good till about an hour and a half ago. I said, well, okay. I said, how you feeling? He said, I'm feeling good. Things are going better. Reading the scripture confession books. I mean, you know, he's doing it. He got a call offering him a very, a big job. Let's just call it a big job. I mean a big job. I said, okay. He says, I don't know what to do. 20 years ago, 2 seconds he'd have taken that job. 2 seconds. I don't even think 2 seconds. As they're saying it, he'd have said yes. And you know what he said? He said, I want you to pray for me. Actually, he says, I want your wife to pray. No. He did say that. He said, I want Sarah to pray too. I said, well, you got it. And then I told him I'd have our church pray for him too. Amen. And I know you will. I was thinking about that choice. Selfishness could lead him to just take that job. Because it's going to cost his family if he takes it. And he said that to me. Pride could make him take that job. Because it's prestigious, very. There's going to be risk if he takes that job. That's what he told me. He says, my life will be in danger. So fear could make you not take it. Did you see those, the selfishness, pride, and fear? And so, of course, he calls Pastor Monty. No, he called his idiot friend that he still says, how are you a pastor? I said, Jesus. That's my only answer, Jesus. See, these are real situations in life. You have these same situations. I'm just using him as an example. But the answer is the same. See, I'm not going to tell him to or not to. I don't know. But I know who knows, right? You know who knows, the decision maker, the absolute truthful decision maker. You know him. You know him. You have access to his information. Remember, the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. When you're seeking him, there's no selfishness there. There's no pride. There's no fear. His perfect love casts out any fear. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. All the power of creation resides inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jimmy. I agree. You absolutely have the ability to be selfless, to walk in humility, to walk in an encouraged, courageous position where fear has no hold on you. You have the ability to stand in the established position that you have been given. So I'm talking about my friend, right? Do you know that you have an established position that is quite prestigious? Did you know that? You're a joint heir of Christ. That's an established position. That's a prestigious position. It pays better than anything that's ever been, ever any job's ever been. You get eternal life. With someone who supplies all your needs according to his riches. That's pretty good pay. And you're fully equipped for that. You're fully equipped for the position he's putting you in. It's vital. It's a vital position in the body. It's vital. Why is it vital? Because there's people that don't know Jesus and they're going to die and go to hell. Yep, there's a Savior who's calling to them and who's probably going to use you to smile when you see him or to say Merry Christmas or who knows what. He's going to use you. And see, you're fully equipped to take that selfless act and do whatever God tells you to do. You're fully equipped for it. And here's the other thing, too. You're good at it. Well, not really good. Yes, you are. The Holy Spirit's the one who equips you, and he's the best at everything. So you're good at it. See, this Christmas message, is this Christmassy? I'm not real Christmassy. But hopefully, I'm Christ-like. Hopefully, we're remembering why we celebrate him. And I don't care if he was born in September. I really don't care. Let's celebrate him every day. Every day, right? Man, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. That's Proverbs 3:6. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion, and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment that your body and your spirit long for. I just wanted to share that today. Does that make sense? Kind of. I hope it encourages you. Hope it encourages you to walk out, you know, Christmas dinner with people you might have had quarrels and conflicts with, but now you don't, because you've chosen not to. You've chose to be kind, not necessarily agreeable, but kind, gentle, acting in the goodness that comes from the wisdom he gives you, right? These are all just fruit of the Spirit, with self-control, full self-control. Right? You see, a walk with God is a walk of meekness. Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is full power under full control. That's how I want to walk. People are attracted to him inside of you. They are attracted to him inside of you when you walk out His ways. And you can. And yes, you're going to make a mistake. Just like Pastor Monty. But you're going to admit it, quit it, and forget it. And then you're going to keep walking empowered by Him. Okay? I want you to remember this as you go through this celebration of Christmas with your families and your friends, where Satan is doing his just utmost to create dissension. Because you're going to remember who's inside of you. You're going to hear His voice speaking clearly. And yes, you do hear from God. You do. You may not have always recognized it was Him, but you do. Okay? Just remember, you do. And He is always loving. He is always kind. He always brings joy. Whether you feel it right now or not, He has peace. He's patient. I already said kind. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Did I get them all? What's that?
Gentle.
Gentle. That's the other G. If I don't do it in order, I get in trouble. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I put the two G's together. In the scriptures, it's not that way, but I had to do it that way. God said it's okay. I have to get them all. You're a powerful people, the church. You're a powerful people. You are. Walk in that authority. With whatever's coming in this world, you walk in that authority. People will be flocking to Jesus. Understand that. Soon. Remember I said He's not a baby in a manger? He's not dead on a cross? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But you know what He's doing? He's interceding for you. But you know what else He's doing? He's listening. Because there's a day that the Father's going to look at Him and say, listen, today's the day. We're going to come get your bride. You know that's the next thing on the prophetic list. You know that's the next thing. It is. And He's going to come get His church. He's going to get the ones that are sealed with Him. That's the next thing He's going to do. And we're all going to be in heaven. And it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a reunion of the church age people with Him. And then we are going to come back. And He will set foot on the Mount of Olives. It'll split when He does too, by the way. And it says He comes with 10,000s of His 10,000s. That's us. And everything will change then too. But until that day, we advance His kingdom. Because there's more to be added to the 10,000s of the 10,000s. There's more to be added. Amen? That was second sermon. Let's say our scripture confessions, okay? Let's say our scripture confessions together. You ready? Blessed art Thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against us will prosper.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 877-40.
You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa-oh. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, oh, you are the peace in my